Appreciate the opportunity to be here. ACU has been good to me. I'm starting my 22nd year at ACU. Laura and I, neither one of us are from Texas. We renew our passport every year as we're here. And we, though, discovered that the first time in Abilene was when I interviewed for the position. So I'm not an ACU graduate. I say they had to hire somebody outside from ACU to correct all the false doctrine that was being taught there. And so that's my role. So but we were talking not too long ago that this, now we've lived in Abilene longer than we've lived anywhere else as a married couple, but then also longer than anywhere else than we've ever lived anywhere. So we've now had two children to graduate from ACU. We have two children that have been married in Texas. We now have four grandchildren in Texas. I don't know, my retirement was somewhere else, but it looks like my retirement at some point is going to probably be in Texas. My father, before he died, as we were walking across his farm that's in Tennessee, this farm that's been in our family since before there were deeds. It's the land that's been there a long time, and there are seven freshwater springs and two streams that never go dry. It is a beautiful place, and he, walking across the farm with me, said, "Now, don't you ever get romantic about this land. Your grandkids are in Texas. Don't come back here. Stay close to them." And he passed away last year, and I think that he's right. As we've been spending time recently with our grandkids, it's a good thing now to be in Texas. Although there was reference to America's team, but I don't keep track of the minor leagues. Was that funny? Maybe. Maybe. You know, there were in the ancient world a lot of temples that were created and built in order to honor certain gods. And throughout human history, there have been construction, architecture, buildings that have been built just to honor someone else. At ACU, that happens. If you give a lot of money, you can put your name on something, or you can designate who someone should be there, their name on it. Right now, the various colleges at ACU do not have any names. And so the College of Biblical Studies, the College of Business Administration, the College of Arts and Sciences. And so ACU is now trying to raise a lot of money in order to name those colleges. And if you've got $20 million, you can have the College of Biblical Studies named after you. So that's what schools do. They raise money for these kinds of things. But you see that in city parks as well. You can go to a city park that's named after somebody, or an elementary school that's named after somebody. Oftentimes, they'll pick folk that are important folk for the community. And someone will give a certain amount of money and say, "Yes, please honor this person." Or, "Go ahead and honor me." It goes both ways. In that sense. But these are, because of the benefactors and their monies, that names are chosen for whatever reason. And these benefactors who give money and have nameplates put on walls, or their names put across even football stadiums, and they name the stadium after certain companies or benefactors. This is something that's been going on for a long time, for since humanity has been contributing money to build buildings, I think. But I think we also need to remember one of my Bible school teachers growing up, who steadfastly taught on Wednesday nights for the better part of 35 years. She taught both mothers and daughters of many in the congregation. She taught them about the love of Jesus, the discipleship of Peter, the missionary activities of Paul. She let the faith of Abraham and the patience of Job flow out of her own life to touch every child who crossed the threshold of her classroom. Although her name will not be recorded in the annals of history, and no monuments or statues will be built in her name, when I was a senior in high school, we bought a silver tray, and we gave it to her as part of our graduation processes. It was given by three generations of students, extolling her graces. It'll be cherished every day by one of God's dearest and best. She's now still in her late 90s, 99. She's about ready to turn 100, still living. As a culture, we reserve special honor for folk. Yes, the rich and famous who have benefactors and are benefactors, but also even for those that are dear to us because of who they are and what they've done for us. And we reserve a standing ovation for such folks. And it's worthwhile to give a standing ovation to such folks. Good folks. But the greatest benefactor of all is God. There is no greater benefactor to God. And that's what our text this morning says. Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 3. And if you wouldn't mind standing for this word of God. For we say this in honor of our God. For it is a blessing. It is an honor to the benefactor, God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundations of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for the adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to his good pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed upon us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. And he lavished on us with all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ as planned for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were first to set our hope in Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the words of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance towards the redemption as God's own people to the praise of his glory. And all we can do is say amen. Blessed be God who blessed us. And it talks about what God has done to the praise of his glory. It talks about what God has done through Jesus, the second stanza, to the praise of his glory. And it talks to us about what God has done through the Holy Spirit in the third stanza, to the praise of his glory. The refrain, to the praise of his glory, three times. Blessed be God who blessed us with all spiritual blessings as it flows down upon us. And so our church bears the name of his Son, the Church of Christ. This church that belongs to the one who's the firstborn among all, the one who's preeminent among us. Praise be to God. And there is a series of actions that God has done on our behalf that are listed here. And it is tempting, and I'm going to follow that temptation here in a second. It is tempting to just to pick some of those apart and talk about each one of them individually. And I'm going to choose one and talk about one of them, because I only have time just to touch the hem of the garment of just one of these. For we could be here all day and tomorrow, just trying to unpack all the things that God has done on our behalf, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He chose us. He redeemed us. He has destined us. He has made known to us. He has sealed us. And Paul's just giving a taste of all the things God has done for us. And God is... Paul is not wanting to make an exhaustive list. That's not what Paul's doing here. Paul is wanting to just flood our mind, overwhelm our thoughts and our hearts with, behold God. To the praise of his glory. And the first one, we'll just walk along the first one a little while, just to get a glimpse of what this text is talking about. The first one, he chose us to be holy and blameless. Primarily, I think what this text does is causes us to stand and give God a standing ovation. What this text does is calls us to stand and say, praise him, our excellent Redeemer. To sing the great hymns of praise. And I like praise him, because that is us standing and looking to one another and saying, praise him. But I also like a song like, we praise thee, O God, because that's not a song of us looking at each other. That's just a song of us looking straight up to God. We praise thee. To be holy and blameless is the second purpose of this text, and he's going to wait till chapter 4 to start pressing that about how we then ought to respond in terms of our holy and blameless lives. But for now, that's held off till chapter 4. Here in chapter 1, blessed be God, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He chose us to be holy and blameless. God's choosing, God as an electing God, is flows back all the way to the Old Testament. I'm going to read a text from Deuteronomy chapter 7. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. The Lord did not set his affections on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it's because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your forefathers that he brought you up out of the mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. You cannot share in these blessings from God unless you first have been chosen to share in these blessings. God picked you out. And here in Deuteronomy, it's talking about not because you're the biggest nation, the most fierce nation, the most numerous nation. He picked you out because he loved you. He picked you out because he made a promise to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Paul would say to the Corinthians, he didn't pick them because they were good looking or they were wealthy or they were the best in town. In fact, he told the Corinthians that God chose them because they were actually the most lowliest of them all. And I know that you probably think that God chose me because of my good looks. Probably because of my great strength and power. But if you get to know me, and it won't take long, it's not. God chose me because he loved me. And God chose you because he loves you. And what more can be said? I mean, you've said it all with these banners. Love God and love others. I teach preaching. I don't always do preaching. I teach preaching, though. That's my primary academic role. And the first preaching textbook that was ever written outside the New Testament was written by Augustine. And he wrote a book called On Christian Doctrine. In that book, On Christian Doctrine, he says that you should be able to interpret every text through love God and love neighbor. And if your sermon doesn't pass the mustard of loving God and loving neighbor, you might as well sit down and shut up. He didn't quite say it that way. First of all, he said it in Latin. But love God. Love neighbor. Because God first loved you. And it is out of that love that he chose you. You know, in every high school, there's always the in crowd. And you always have to get picked to be on a team. And in that in crowd where you have the right labels and you're wearing the right clothes and you got the right haircut and you know how these high school things work. You know, it's at that slumber party that you get called and you're invited and you're part of the in crowd. Or you don't get called to go out for pizza and you realize that you're not part of the in crowd. I hated lining up and two people get out in front of the line and they get to pick who's on their kickball team. I just hated that because I was last too often than not. You know, they start counting and they would start figuring and they would start, oh man, I got to pick the last person. Sensing you might as well come on over here. Yeah, no one likes to be picked last. At least you get picked. You know, that's I guess it could have happened where you don't get picked. But teachers make sure everyone gets picked. But when my best friend gets to pick, he picks me first. It's only because he's my best friend. He knows that I strike out even in kickball. That's hard to do. He picks me. He even lets me be the pitcher because he's my friend. Paul says you've been chosen to be in Christ. Being in Christ is the in place to be. These blessings described here are not blessings only for tomorrow. This is in the present tense. These are blessings for today. These blessings were chosen to be given to you, he says, before the foundations of the world were created. This was in God's mind before he even created the world to pick you. And this is in the plural. He's talking about the church. For you to be part of this body, the church. He's picked, I think you say it in Texas, y'all. Or in parts of Tennessee, Ewenses. He picked Ewenses. Because the church is the belonging place to be. He chose you. He chose you in love. Because that's where you belong. And he chose you before you even needed it. It's kind of like health insurance. I don't get health insurance after the fact. I get health insurance before the fact. I don't call up Geico, that little green guy, and say, I broke my leg. Can I send you my premium? That's just not how it works. It happens before the fact. God was ready to bless you before even the need for blessing existed. God was ready to choose you before there was even necessity for you needing to be chosen. God knew that through sin, you would reject him and you would need to be chosen by him because he desires to supply anything and everything that is lacking in the church. He picked you because he values you. He loves you. And that choosing has a purpose. That purpose is for you to be holy and blameless. And that purpose from this text is so that you can gather together to the praise of his glory. That you may live and do and act and speak in ways that gives God honor. Thanks be to God. How much more could be said? We stand in ovation as God moves across the stage of history. We stand in ovation and we applaud because every time God moves across, another wave of applause goes forth. God has chosen you. God has redeemed you. God has destined you. God has made known to you the very mysteries of the world. God has sealed you with his Holy Spirit to the praise of his glory. There is no greater benefactor than the God who blesses God's church. And we're going to sing a song that says just that. There is a God. Praise to his name. We're going to stand and we're going to sing. And if you have need, there'll be folks that you know where to find them to pray with you. But first and foremost, we're going to sing to God. Let's stand and do so.